This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin. Youth entering the job market now may face tough prospects when out hunting for jobs. Recent reports by Bank Negara and other research has found that youth unemployment in Malaysia is becoming a major problem. The disproportionately high rates of unemployment among youth is compounded by rising costs of living and headwinds in the global economy. Today on Current Affairs, we explore the factors contributing to the problem and possible solutions. Sabrina Maglin has the report.
Since early this year, various reports and analysts have pointed out how the high youth unemployment rate in Malaysia is a cause for concern. This includes Bank Negara's annual report for 2016. It reviewed existing research and concluded that youth unemployment in 2015 is more than three times the national unemployment rate. Furthermore, unemployment rates for youths with tertiary education is higher than for non-graduates. This trend runs counter to the experience in developed countries where higher education attainment is linked to better job prospects. Lim Ping Jun, researcher with the Penang Institute, published an article highlighting the issue that was cited in the Bank Negara report. She says this trend is related to the rising percentage of tertiary education youths in jobs that have lower qualifications.
When I talk about underemployment, I refer to the problem of people being overqualified for their job. On an individual level, studies have shown that if you are underemployed at a young age, this kind of prevents you from getting a better job in the future. On an economic-wide level, this kind of represents lower returns on education. The economy as a whole has invested time and there's been cost to getting a tertiary education. But when graduates don't fully use the knowledge or skills they have gained in university, this represents kind of an opportunity cost in terms of lost productivity and loss of potential higher earnings, which could have contributed to our tax base and the economy as a whole. When we look at the TRACES data, we find that the issue of underemployment is especially severe among diploma holders. About 60% of fresh diploma graduates go into jobs that typically don't require tertiary education. This percentage is slightly lower for fresh university graduates with degrees. So for degree holders, underemployment rate, according to TRACES, is about 34%. This has been on an upward trend.
As the Bank Negara report also states, for youths to face unemployment or underemployment when entering the job market can be harmful.
This is the typical job seeker's journey. As a fresh graduate, you come out, you look for a job that fits your qualification, that requires a university or a diploma. You try to hold on to finding this higher standard of jobs for a while because you don't really want to settle for a lower requirement job or a lower paid job. After all, you went for higher education to get a better job, right? So after being unemployed for a while, perhaps your communication skills or your soft skills don't really match what the employers want. You become quite discouraged. You just desperately want a job. You apply for perhaps lower skilled or like mid skilled jobs that wouldn't typically require a degree, but would at least give you a sense of job security or some income. So that's when underemployment happens. Typically, it starts from unemployment. And then when you can't find a job, then you settle for something perhaps lower. This might be because you yourself don't fit the skills requirements, and it also might be because of competition. When there's a high supply of tertiary graduates, as a fresh grad, you are easily substitutable, so employers could take their pay.
In recent years, the trend in youth unemployment is similarly high in other countries as a result of the financial crisis in 2008. But Ping Jun says in Malaysia, the factors may also be structural.
We are right in the middle between Philippines, who are doing better in terms of youth unemployment, and Singapore, Thailand, who are faring worse than we are. If you look at developed countries, there has been quite a lot of youth unemployment and underemployment, but you could argue that that's because their economic growth isn't high enough to sustain it. But for Malaysia, we're still developing. The fact that we're not fully using our human capital is a little bit of a concern. Some of the factors, I think, in terms of why there isn't enough high-skilled jobs is, well, partly it might be government policy. So I spoke in my report about the Economic Transformation Program. Some of the sectors that they prioritize and that's more active in, for example, the wholesale and retail sector, they typically employ mid to low-skilled workers rather than high-skilled workers. So when sectors that typically employ only mid to low-skilled workers are expanding or growing very rapidly compared to sectors that might provide more high-skilled jobs such as education or financial services. What happens is that in the economy, there will be more and more demand for mid to low-skilled jobs and more stagnant demand for high-skilled jobs. The government has been focusing a lot on educating the workforce and having more people getting tertiary education. This kind of symbolizes progress. But the fact is that supply does not create its own demand.
Ping Jun says the economic transformation program did not create as many high-skilled jobs as it did for middle or lower-skilled jobs.
If you look at the ETP and the sectors that are more on track for achieving their targets, they are usually the construction projects, retail projects. These are the type of sectors that wouldn't really provide the high-skilled jobs. Their strategy was to create more than 54% high-skilled jobs, 24% mid-skilled jobs, and 22% low-skilled jobs. So in terms of the more demand-side intervention, in terms of getting companies to provide more high-skilled jobs, that's a lot more difficult, and perhaps why a lot of the time the government, it's not just our government, a lot of other countries as well, they try to use supply-side to counter the problem of youth unemployment and underemployment. On the demand side, the government does try to reduce the accessibility of foreign workers to kind of prevent companies or factories from relying on cheap foreign labor too much and to encourage them to invest in higher technology so that they could use these engineering graduates or IT technicians. And other ways are perhaps trying to invest in sectors that would produce more high-skilled jobs. So before this, we're talking about the financial services and the education sector, for example.
But on the other hand, many surveys also show that employers are unsatisfied with the quality of graduates. Ping Jun says this contributes to a vicious cycle.
So there are two ways of looking at it. The first way is that the lack of supply of competent workers in the economy causes employers to become reluctant in investing or expanding in capital-intensive or higher technology type of production methods because they aren't confident that they will be able to find the competent workers needed to run the programs. They are less likely to invest in this kind of higher technology production methods, and so there are lower availability of high-skilled jobs in the market. From this angle, the supply problem, the lack of quality workers, causes the lack of demand in the market for tertiary graduates. They are both, not one problem causes the other, but they both kind of compound and combine to make the problem worse. But I would also argue that in terms of like longer term trend, the availability of high school jobs just hasn't been growing that much, even since from 2012. The thing is, the supply of tertiary graduates has not been slowing. It has been increasing even faster. So there's been a rising gap.
Through the Economic Planning Unit and Pemandu, the government has attempted to address the situation by focusing on improving the quality of graduates and matching demands of the industry. Pemandu former CEO Datuk Sri Idris Jala said recently that 45% of the 3.3 million jobs they plan to create under the ETP will be those that require technical, vocational education and training, while the rest will require academic qualifications.
We are trying very hard to work in a way in which we improve the quality of the graduates that come out from DVET. Some of them, we spend nearly 3.4 billion ringgit a year from the government. And so we are trying to do the best we can. Again, as I said, the quality of the graduates is key. If the graduates are good, they will find employment. I would say Malaysia is fortunate. We are one of the few countries that has full employment. Compared to many, many other countries, I would say that Malaysia is well poised. I think the issue here is that there will be graduates wherever you have that do not get employment because perhaps they're in the wrong kind of discipline and the quality does not meet those of the employers.
That was Datuk Sri Idris Jala, former CEO of Pemandu, who now heads the private company Pemandu Associates. Earlier, you heard from Lim Ping Jun, researcher with Penang Institute. This is a report by Tan Zai Yun. I'm Sabrina Magdalene for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.